I'd like to turn it over to Rona. As she said, the O was a long O. So Rona, it's all yours.
Okay. I'm on, I believe.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you for that fabulous introduction. And I want to thank Marlene for inviting me to this meeting and introducing me to and asking me to speak. And I'll get right to it. Is there someone who can tell me when I'm like at 10 minutes before I should finish up?
Yeah, Joe will tell you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I will tell you.
Okay, so here we'll start. So I grew up in a you don't air your dirty laundry kind of home. And so when I got to my first meeting, I really felt at home because these people understood me. I mean, I had no idea what a compulsive overeater was. I knew that I loved food. I knew that I snuck food. I knew that I lived for food, but I really didn't know that anyone else suffered the same way I did. So that was a real breath of fresh air in that regard. My mother was harsh. She was the queen of put downs, and I absorbed every one of them and I shoveled them down. I was the princess of sneak eating. I was very ingenious in my cunning disease ways of opening things up that wouldn't be detected and shuffling things around and all that stuff that I know many of you have done. When I was younger, I was kind of active on the block. I lived in the city. I still live in the Bronx. And the weight did not come on, although I always was shamed for my weight. I always felt fat. But then when puberty hit is when the weight started to come on. And of course, I was dragged to a weigh and pay organization. And I only went because they had some kind of a treat, a frozen treat, as it was back then. And that's why I went to those meetings. I never got to a goal weight. And I did get close, but as soon as I got to a goal weight, I don't think I have be any surprise to you that I gained back that plus the bonus. So I was always eating and hiding my junk food. And then I started smoking at a young age, like 12. I went on to pot at about 14. And much later on, I graduated to cocaine. So I had that addiction as well. And I always say I never drank alcohol because I only wanted to eat my calories. I didn't want to waste drinking on them. But that never was a factor for me. So that was one compulsion I don't have. I have quite a few others, quite a few seats on the Titanic. But I was very insecure, very down on myself, self-esteem, naive. And so at 18, I was all excited because I was going to go out on a date in a car for the first time with a stepbrother of a lovely neighbor of mine. And except the stepbrother wasn't lovely, and I was attacked. So I was sexually attacked, and I was in a place where I couldn't escape. It was winter, and there was ice, and I was in his car somewhere. I didn't know, dark and all that. And as it happened in my life, again, many people in OA have traumatic stories, like some, like many, much of mine. And many don't. There's no one size fits all for what reason we're compulsive overeaters. But this is my story, so I tell it because it helps me and it helps maybe someone else, as I was helped when people really speak their truth and share their deep rooted experiences. So as my life would have it, the next year at 19, so of course I didn't tell anyone, I just ate over it, kept the weight on for protection. And that was at 18 years old. I didn't know what happened to me. At 19, it was a different scenario, a different situation. But again, I was raped at that time as well at 19. So that was two whammies right there. And so I was just a mess, emotionally a mess. I I just wanted to escape. So I did anything to escape. Eating, drugging, eating, drugging. My mother pushed me into taking education in college. I didn't want to be a teacher. I didn't want any part of kids. I was a theater major. And of course, I dreamt of fame, but that somehow wasn't in my cards. But I did have education as a fallback. So it happened to be a 31 credit minor at the school that I went to. So I had 24 credits. It's like a double major in a way. And after college, when I was supposed to go to work, I knew I couldn't hack it. I was so messed up that I found a program that was in Israel, and it was like teaching English to immigrant children. And my parents agreed to let me go to that. I guess that now they call it a gap year. There was no name for it then. So I took a gap year, except that I was in such bad shape and emotionally and so screwed up that when my parents came to visit me several months, like 10 months later into the year, they saw that I was a mess. I was just a mess physically. I was a mess emotionally. I was under a guru in my group from America. There were people from all over America. And one of the people in my group was an existentialist, and he screwed up my mind. I just was his like disciple, basically. They saw that this was going on, and they booked a ticket and dragged me home. And I had a complete breakdown because I didn't want to leave. I thought I was, you know, happy. I thought I was doing the right, being with a person, and we had all kinds of plans for the future. And oh, I had a breakdown. And then I couldn't work at all. I couldn't think of doing anything. But after being home, and of course my mother did not believe in therapy. She was clinically depressed. She never went to therapy. And I stayed in my room for about 3-4 months. And she said, you have to go get a job. So I was not ready to teach at all because I was ill-equipped emotionally. I couldn't deal with myself, let alone kids. So I did get a job downtown in Manhattan and on the hot subway and all that. And the job was boring as all get out because I was, you know, miscreative. But I did it for about 6 months. And then I said, by then, it really was a favor that my mother did for me in pushing me to this job, because I saw for the first time that people have problems and they go to work, because I had a boss that had a lot of problems and various people that I met, and that this was what needed to be done. And so I did kind of like getting a paycheck, and then I was able to transition into what I call a default into teaching, because I couldn't stand the subway and the boring job. And I had a hard time with teaching because I had a hard time with myself. But fortunately, there was one person with me that was a new teacher. Everyone else was seasoned. And it was rough because it was a new school and nobody knew where any of the equipment was, the supplies. And it was a rough start to my teaching career. But I muddled through. And then around after Christmas, I started to get the hang of it. And I said, all right, this may be something that can work out. I have to make a go of it. So I started to get the hang of it, and the kids responded, and it went a lot better. And until March, when my father died suddenly, he was the one that I was compatriot with. He was my help against my mother at times. And he was gone. He went out one night and he died walking. He hit the ground. And so he did his hands out. That's how his nose was almost broken, bruised, because he died with heart issues. And my mother was so depressed, etc. And she had heart attacks after that. She couldn't go to the funeral. It was pretty dreadful. And but I I had decided to go on a trip with another teacher in the summertime. And on the plane ride, I met a man who overheard me thinking about my teaching with the people next to me. He wasn't supposed to sit in front of me. He was supposed to sit next to me, but a friend was traveling with her mother. We were taking her to drop her off in Seattle, Washington to visit relatives because her stepfather had died, the mother's second husband. And so he heard me talking. We took exchange numbers. And when I got back home, he called me. And since I wanted to get out of my mother's house, what else would I do but marry him? I hardly, I didn't know him. I wasn't in love with him. He wanted me. That was enough. So I was not happy. A year later, I found program and I started to get that therapeutic atmosphere was underway. And I still did not have, I still needed to build up more strength to be on my own. So I stayed in the marriage about 5 years, and then I got pregnant with my daughter, and I just wanted to leave. I didn't really want to have a daughter at that time. I wanted to leave and be free after my experiences and the security of marriage, of which my former husband was a casualty, because I come into my own a little bit through program. So I worked program as best I could, but I was still in emotional, turmoil. But so I yo-yoed for the first several years in program. I yo-yoed. It was not easy being alone with my daughter. She was 14 months old when I was divorced. And I did lots of insane things. I risked my job many times. I almost got caught with smoking pot on the premises. I mean, crazy, crazy, insane things that would really screw up my life. So I was an agnostic, and I only now in retrospect see how many times my higher power saved me. And I only got a higher power from being in program and knowing that after a while of working it the best I could, and it wasn't good enough. I did a fourth step with a very trusted person. And she said, if you don't stop this kind of life that you're living, and I was doing, like I said, I was with very inappropriate people in relationships, and I just was, I couldn't get out of it on my own, even with a program, which is perfect. I am not, I've learned that in program, but program being perfect, I knew that I had to work it the way program said to work it. I couldn't keep yo-yoing and doing what I wanted to do and think it's going to work. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for me, for sure. So this inappropriate relationship person moved. That was 18 years of this crazy crumbs of his time relationship. And he moved away. I still didn't have strength after that many years to break it off and be in my own personhood. But once he left, of course, that was really a very good thing for me. And after a few months, I started to feel that I could socialize again. I was still heavy. I was like having a fat serenity kind of a thing, because I did the best I could, but I couldn't get a food plan that I had trouble with everything in program, because that was me. I wasn't ready for any of it. I couldn't find a food plan. I couldn't find a higher power. And I wasn't going to, quote unquote, get the threefold recovery until I did what program said to do. That was the issue. So just going to show this. That's my before. And that's my after, but it's my in between, because I could not keep that. That's I'm a little heavier than that now, but I'm where higher power wants me to be. So I answered an ad in a newspaper, again, a teacher's classroom that I wasn't supposed to be in. I was covering, he didn't get his preparation period, and they sent me in there, and I never was in there before, and he had a newspaper, and I answered three ads. It was about 4 or 5 months after the other guy left, and so only one person responded, and that's my current husband, who I was married to my first husband for 6 years. I'm married to my second husband, Vijem, for over 26 years now. And he has been the most, I mean, that was a gift from program, a gift from my higher power beyond measure. Very, very grateful. He with a lot, but unconditional love. And that was where I learned it. So I still was, you know, so I started to be less self-destructive, less perfectionistic. I had a kind of I expanded on the hammer thing when you say, you know, I picked up the hammer and beat myself over the head all the time. But I came to, after many years in program, I finally said, you know, I reach for the hammer, but it doesn't always hit my head anymore. And then after many years later, I don't reach for the hammer very much because I've gotten so much. I've changed so much. I know that my husband wouldn't be with me if I hadn't changed that. I do know. So then as I got close to retirement, I said, if I don't change my ways, really do something for my health, I'm not going, I was about, you know, what, a couple of years from retirement. I said, I'm going to not live to see my retirement. Like my father, you know, was 59 when he suddenly died. And, so I went back to the weigh and pay at 14. I was at the weigh and pay. And then I went back to the weigh and pay a few times in between. And this time I was more serious because I was older. I got married when I was 46, remarried when I was 46. And I was lucky enough to be able to retire at 55. And with my family history with heart and strokes and all that, I want to enjoy my retirement and not miss out on those years. So, I went back, as I said, to the weigh and pay. And at that time, being more serious about a food plan, when I saw what they had, a lot of people who go to weigh and pay say, oh, I can eat all this food that I never had. Oh, so much food. I said, so much food. It was like a pittance. It was like, what? They expect me to eat this much? And everyone thought it was so generous what they were, not to me, it wasn't. Not the way I was eating and thinking it was okay. And that's why I had Fat Serenity for a time. So I did get a food plan, and I knew that I couldn't eat my binge foods. I mean, that I knew from, you know, before I started. But I was still eating fast food. I was just having the children's meals then, and I was cutting back on this and that in smaller portions. And after a while, I realized that it's not enough bang for the buck. You know, I had to switch over to the leaner way of eating to have more food and realize that that's what people are talking about. They eat more healthy food. Oh, really? So I did transition gradually, and I kept tweaking and tweaking my food plan. And it took me about 2 years more than that to actually come upon a concept of a higher power that would work for me. Because I was just recalcitrant. I just wanted to do it my own way so much of the time in program. And I, you know, I came to, and I realized that I have to come to believe, and I have to turn my will and my life over to the care of higher power. And I have to have a higher power in order to do that. And so my higher power evolved into like 21 concepts. It's an it, capital I, it. It's not a he or a she, but it doesn't matter what it is, because as long as I know that I have to give myself over to it and turn my family over to it and everything. My daughter still gives me agita. She's going to be 45 in April, but she had some tough stuff too. With, we'll talk about life on life's terms. She got divorced after 10 years of her marriage, and she moved in with a guy from high school that was mad about her from then on, and timing was never right for them to get together. And it was very rough, but she moved in with him, and she had, my grandson is now 15. So at the time he was about 9 or 10 when they got divorced. So it was very hard on him. And he is a special ed kid, and he's on the spectrum, the autism spectrum. He's a sweet kid. He doesn't act out, and he's high functioning, but there's plenty of life on life's terms for me to turn over about him and what's going to be with him in the future. But my daughter is a good mother. She always wanted to be a mother, and she is an excellent mother, and we collaborate a lot. I'm pretty much a helicopter grandparent, but at any rate, so her life took a bad turn when the boyfriend that she moved in with got cancer, and he wasted away for 2 years. In 2021, he died. That was traumatic. I mean, it was so traumatic, all of us, because she was just finally in a happy relationship and he dies. I mean, it was dreadful. And my grandson was very attached to him, and he was suicidal. He ended up in the adolescent psych ward. It was rough time. So I had to go on some, I had a TIA, I had a mini stroke over the trauma of this and seeing my daughter suffer so, and my grandson. And that medication caused some weight gain. I had been steady on my food plan, in my la-di-da threefold recovery, working with sponsees, which is the gift of another gift of all gifts. I get so much from them. And so I, all of a sudden, it was like the rug was pulled out from under me in terms of my threefold recovery. I thought, I wasn't cocky about it. I know that everyone's one bite away, but I just didn't expect this. And I was battling, trying to control it. And because I had so much program behind me at that point last year, I was able to stem the tide with, I reached out to higher power. I said, you got to help me. I can't do this. I can't live with this extra. Luckily for me, it was only 5 to 7 pounds that I put on, but every 2 pounds at the way my butt had pared down, 2 pounds, I can't breathe at 2 pounds. I needed help. So I got my help because it's in program. All the answers are in program. Whatever your question, the answer is in program. There is no doubt about that. So all things food became all things program. My program is structured, not rigid. I call the P word another dirty word, but the pro can be perfect, but humans cannot be. So I call it the P word, and we laugh about that. It's the only way to live. And I don't even know if I would have stayed. There's a part I didn't mention about a good OA friend of mine who dug her grave with her fork and ended up dying and in the grave. She made me promise before she died that I would not leave the rooms. And I honestly could say, and that was about 20 years ago, I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't made the promise. Because I visited, I went out to lunch with, you know, that was what I went to. I visited meetings to see my friends and be social and have a place to go. I really, so many years, didn't work it the way it needs to be worked. Someone once asked me this, and this sticks with me. Are you doing what it takes, or are you doing what you wish it would take? I was doing what I wished it would take for many, many years. And then I realized that is not going to cut it. So I started doing what it took. I learned, you know, to really not just accept myself and the disease as part of me, but to really like who I am because of program, because of higher power, who saved me from so many deadly situations and dreadful situations. I have to do everything the program says to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I do a lot of online work with a group that used to be part of OA, but they branched off into their own recovery type group. And if anyone's interested in that, I can't talk about it at a meeting, but after a meeting. And so after I retired, I said, you know, now I really want to be fulfilled in my life. What can I do? And I had tried to go back to school after many years of teaching to be a psychologist, some type of therapist, social work, something. And I took 9 credits over 2 summers. And because I was raising my daughter, and those years were so hard to be a single parent, I wasn't able to complete that. But through program and sponsoring, I share my experience, strength, and hope with whoever higher power brings me. And higher power always, not always, I mean, sometimes it works for a short time, sometimes it works for many, many years, but a lot of my sponsees and I have worked together and continue to work together for many years, because higher power brought the right ones to me who respond to my way, which, like, as I said, is not rigid. I, you know, stubborn as I was with many things, the only thing I'm stubborn about now is program. It has to be a certain way. It is my life. I'm grateful that it's my life. It's the best enhanced way of life that I could ever have imagined in my entire, in positive realm of any possibilities. I started doing exercise when I retired and got my program together. I went to the gym, I did swimming, I did Zumba, and I did line dancing, and I did, you know, weight training. And so now I don't go to the gym anymore because I stopped with COVID and never went back. It's harder for now at my age and my stage to get out and bring and schlep and go and do. So I do it in the house. I do not the swimming, but in the summers I go swimming at a sponsee's pool. I have a sponsee. We have meetings and swimming. It's wonderful. And I look forward to the summer for that. But I do something every day. I do weight training 3 times a week. It's like come hell or high water, I do, unless I have a doctor's appointment, which there are several of those, but they come in spurts. They calm down every now and then. This aging thing is rather challenging, but of course, I'm grateful to have the best way of life, which is program way of life, in order to age as gracefully as I possibly can. I did have skin cancer 2-3 years ago on my nose. It's probably hard to see in this thing, but I have a little chunk missing and a little thing extra over there. But my nose base is the same. I was so grateful for COVID for the fringe benefit of needing to wear a mask. So nobody saw all the surgery and anything. I didn't have to look at it either most of the time. I had a mask on. So I said, isn't that nice of higher power to do that for me? Higher power has done a lot for me. No question. No question. The disease doesn't sense, but the recovery sure does. And I wish everyone could have a 12-step program in their life, because I think I did the fourth step 3 times until I had evolved to the point where that was enough. The last time was the right way to go. And I did it in this case. And I realized with program that if I hadn't gone through those heinous experiences that I was enduring, I wouldn't be the Rona that I am today with a long O. I really don't know if I'd be here, because I tried to screw up my life really a lot, and higher power was there. And I had no clue that higher power was there until many years in program. So it's certainly a privilege to have the program and live in threefold recovery. Also, my mother, with whom I had so many issues, so many problems getting along. When she got older, she got sick and she was on dialysis for 7 years. And she mellowed. She mellowed. I grew up program. That's what I could say, because I came at 24 and I'm going to be next year 74. So that is, I'll be 50 years in program in 2024. That's like, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I couldn't imagine what life would be like without it. I made peace with my mother, and that was a precious gift from higher power as well. She said, I love you, for the first time on her deathbed. And that was a real treasure as well. The process, you know, is a broad highway, as the big book says. We can have our own style of recovery. We have to adhere to what program dictates to do, as they say, suggestions, you know, but many of us seasoned long timers, I'm trying not to say old times, long timers, know that whatever program says is what we must do. I also wanted to read this little thing. Somebody posted, this is not original. God grant me the serenity to accept myself as I am and as I was, the courage to change in the ways you want me to, and the wisdom to allow you to do it. Because the allowing was a big trip up for me for many, many years. I couldn't allow it. I couldn't feel worthy of this recovery. I couldn't. That's from my experiences. But I needed my experiences to get the program that I have. So I'm really going to, maybe we have time for it. I'm going to wind up with that and hope that maybe some people can maybe have a little time to share or whatever Joe feels is appropriate. And thank you all for being here tonight and allowing me to be your qualifier.
Thank you very much, Rona. And will you answer some questions if they have them?
Sure.
Okay, does anyone have questions? Please raise your hand. Okay, would anybody like to? Yes, please, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy Compulsive Overeater. Thank you so much for your share. I have an it. My higher power is an it. Can you talk more about your it, higher power?
Oh, yes, sure. Well, you know who helped me a lot with my higher power? Many of you are familiar with Laurie C. from Canada. And he had it for his, a few its for his higher power. And that was my jump off point. So I can go over the whole litany that I say when I pray to my higher power, if it might help somebody. I say love, life, feelings, healing, fate, faith, HP Gomu, Ivor, which is inner voice of reason, Tipor, which is the power of recovery, spirit energy, nature, clouds, and all of nature, Phil, PHIL, positivity, healing, and infinite love. Phil, I have a lot of those. Gus, great universal spirit, and so you know, those are my comprises my higher power. Someone in program once said also protons, because protons is positive energy. Protons, So those, and there may be a few that I left out because not praying right now, but I pray to that. And if I a short version of prayer, and I say HPC, my higher power committee, which somebody gave me that title for my higher power. So that's it.
Next. Comments? Sharing? Yes, Kim.
Hi, I'm Kim, compulsive overeater. And I was wondering, when you was figuring out your food plan, was that with a sponsor or on your own?
Oh, good question. I did work with sponsors over some of the years in program. A lot of times I didn't, because I was so full of self-will that I wouldn't take a sponsor. And that, I just want to give you a little aside before I answer that question. I met someone at a meeting, and she heard me share, and she came over to ask me if I would be her sponsor. And she was kind of like, you know, interviewing me a bit. And she said, "Do you have a sponsor?" And at the time I didn't. And I said, "No." She goes, "Oh, well, then I'm not going to work with you," you know. And I didn't understand it at the time. Well, you know, because I didn't have the humility to know that I needed to have a sponsor as I do now. And have, you know, be a sponsor sandwich, because everything's about food. So my food plan was the Way and Pay helped me figure out my food plan. I knew from OA that I couldn't have, as I said before, I couldn't have my trigger foods. Those were never part of my food plan from then on to now. But it was just, I listened to a lot of people, and I kind of asked around, you know, and I just kind of figured it out between the weigh and pay and what other people and sometimes sponsors. Yes. So just kept evolving and evolving and evolving to the most effective and efficient one for me, where I was even willing to prepare and cook. And I don't cook, and I never cooked. My poor husband. but he was a bachelor. My second husband was a bachelor. I cooked a little in my first marriage. It was just the thing you expected, and I did it. But my second marriage, he was a bachelor until 50. He's 4 years older than me. I was 46. He was 50. And he likes to do his own thing with everything. And I'm very grateful for that. So we don't interfere with each other's food at all. And I don't have any issues with what he keeps in the house. It does not have Rona written on it. None of it does. So it just took time. It, you know, using the resources of the people in program and the way and pay, which was helpful to me. And I still follow the points plan.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Janelle.
Thank you for sharing. I am totally new at this. This is a dumb question, I'm sure, but what did you mean by threefold?
Okay. No question is dumb. Do not label yourself or your questions in that manner, please.
I'm sorry. Bad habit.
Yes.
Add that to the list of things I need to work on.
Exactly. Be aware of it now. You can be aware of it and you can change it. What was the question?
What did you mean by threefold? Like, or I think you kept referring to
physical, emotional, and spiritual. That's a threefold recovery.
Okay.
So for me, I didn't have the physical very well. Emotionally, I will have to say that through the years, I did grow emotionally more than anything else, out of proportionally emotionally from my program and my trajectory of program. But it took me much longer. 28 years in program to get that food plan in place, and then 2 more years, 30 years to get a higher power. So there's no failures. There's only slow successes in program. And I am the poster child or poster old lady for slow successes. And I really try to look at everything positively, and program helped me that.
Thank you.
Sure.
My friend Hannah.
Hi, Rona. Thank you very much for sharing. And I love that you said you don't like to cook. I don't know how to start a kitchen. And my husband put up with it too. So there's another person. Somebody actually tried to explain to me how to spell it when I was in New Zealand. I said, that's not what I mean. But what I wanted to ask you is that I'm so glad that you said it took you a long time to find a higher power. Because when I came to OA, I didn't really work the program. I went on a diet. Now, I was super strict, but it was a diet. Pink cloud fall off. But I did not believe in anything, because if there was a higher power, I think I kind of felt like I was it. You know, of course, that's not possible. But if somebody had said to me, you have to believe in a higher power, you have to do this or you have to do that, it would have been very difficult for me. And I think it's important to talk about that, because I had a sponsor who... You know, actually, I found out years later was Catholic, and I came from a non-religious background, but she explained it to me slowly and in such a way that, you know, I love this came to believe, because that's what it took for me. And I always say my first 5 years in program, even though abstinent, you know, I didn't get it. It took a long time, and I'm grateful, because when I came, when I went on diets, I always thought I started and that was perfect, would last forever, like some of the things you see on television now. And in OA, they said, keep coming back, my sponsor. And it's so important. I had a sponsor for 30 years until she passed away. But it's so important for a sponsor to, you know, explain that to a person like me, who was so smart when I came. Now I'm not, and life works a lot better. So thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Mark?
My name is Mark. I'm a composer over here and a bulimic, and glad to be here. Another day to your life on my turn. Glad to see you again, my friend. Besides sponsorship, besides being a sponsor, what other service work do you do inside the fellowship?
Well, I participate in lots of online loops, they call them. And I coordinate a loop that's for that other group that I mentioned to you. But that's my primary way of sponsoring. I actually have not even gone to meetings until Marlene turned me on to this one. I was just really focusing on sponsorship, and I have about 10 sponsees. So that's really the bulk of my day and evening, and even night is sponsoring. So I could definitely open my mind to other forms of service. Thank you.
Valerie?
I am Valerie, a compulsive overeater, first time at this meeting, and what a beautiful turnout. Love the qualification, related a lot. And, you know, it's funny, I'm in program over 30 years and my food has been good, but many times I took myself off the sponsor line when I was still crazy in my head. You know, my behaviors with food were compulsive, thinking what I was going to have for dinner. And my plan is 3 meals and 2 snacks. And I save my snacks for the evening and I eat them compulsively, even though they're abstinent. I can't wait to have it. I still have like that head, you know, but I have my Scott sponsor over 20 years and my program is flexible as well. And the key to my program is to be honest with my sponsor. When I say I'm going to eat something and she gets a little quiet because she's a great listener, she gives me enough room to hang myself, you know, and then I think about it and I do the right thing. The thing as far as perfection, I realize I'm a work in progress. I used to be very hard on myself. I heard somewhere in the rooms where they say perfection is a form of self-abuse. And even instead of practice makes perfect, I go practice makes improvement. And, you know, you use the thing of the hammer. I heard, you know, put the baseball bat down and use a feather, you know, to just be kinder to myself. With I'm Jewish and my higher power was like brisket and potato pancakes. You know, we did all the cultural things for the holidays, you know, and so in program, I believed that there was a God because I didn't want to think otherwise, but it wasn't a personal relationship. But I had cancer 6 years ago. Thank God I'm fine. My son went through a divorce. There were other things that I was desperate enough to start calling out on God. And I saw how I'm 75, and when I look back on my life, even the bad things is when I had my growth. And I can see the purpose now looking in retrospect, how things happened. And yeah, so I'm very grateful for the program and thank you for your qualification.
Thank you. Alice?
Hi, you told us a little about how you develop or what your higher power is now. Can you talk a little more about how you developed it?
Well, as I mentioned, I listened to Laurie C, L-A-W-R-I-E. Laurie C, he has podcasts that are great. And I also was lucky enough to meet him at a weekend big book study. And he gave me he was the first one that I got the idea of that you can have anything to be a higher power, any concept. And you just have to, the thing that's tricky, and it did take me the longest of all the threefolds in recovery is to be it's turning over. It's, you know, we can't really pinpoint it enough to tell someone exactly how that is accomplished. I tell my sponsees who struggle with it, as I did, just keep at it. Just keep doing it until you feel a connection. And if that higher power doesn't fit, you know, add more, subtract, change. It's very fluid. It can be very fluid. It doesn't have to be static in any way, shape, or form. Whatever works for a person. And the main thing is to have that. It just evolves to that point when you practice it, when you keep doing it. when you keep doing it, like the big book says, the only prayer we really need is, I pray only for knowledge of your will for me and the power to carry that out. I say that, you know, I say the serenity prayer, I say the 11-step prayer, I say a 7-step prayer on a regular daily basis. A day doesn't feel right if I don't say my prayers, plus my own prayers, so that I communicate and commune with my higher power. And certainly clouds, as I said, is one of my higher powers. So there are so many days I just look out the window at the clouds and I just feel a spiritual connection to it, because that's how it happened for me. So it's just a matter of trying it on for size and working with it, utilize it. Don't analyze, utilize. That's another thing that I heard in program many times, until, you know, it takes what it takes till it takes. But don't, you know, there's no pressure. It's, we have this program and we have our lives to live evolving in the program.
Next. Okay. No other questions or comments? Okay. Robert, go ahead.
Thank you. Robert, compulsive overeater. I've reached goal weight many times on between diets and even in OA How. But what happens to me, I reach that goal weight and that emotional turmoil is what brings me back, because I haven't been able to find, a stable recovery to maintain my weight. And I was wondering how, when you talked about your history, your early life, how you came to deal with that. I would like to hear about that a little bit.
Yes, thank you for that. That is a challenge. It's definitely a challenge to maintain. I was very determined. I really, at that point, for the first time in my life, felt that my health would be at stake if I didn't. So my own motivation was there. And it is a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. And especially as I got older in general, and especially this last couple of years, as I mentioned, I had to cut down. And I loved my food plan the way it was. I didn't want to change a thing about it. I loved it. It took me so long to get it, and I was so happy to have it. But I had to face up to the fact that, well, first of all, I'm shrimpy. I'm only 5'1". There's nowhere to hide it. So I couldn't get away with very much. Taller people can, but that reminds me of a story that when Dr. Phil was on Oprah's show before he became Dr. Phil on his own, she had Gail on, her best friend. And she said, you know, Gail can eat everything she wants and she doesn't gain an ounce. And I just breathe on it. You know, a lot of us had that complaint for many years. And I still can have that complaint. Like my husband, who's 6'3" and weighs about 20 pounds less than I do, 6'3". Okay. Like a noodle. He's like a noodle, but I live with it. He's not me. I'm not him. Gail's. So Dr. Phil said, you are an Oprah. You are not Gail. We all have different metabolisms. We all have to deal with the reality of our metabolism, of which I believe I ruined with all the yo-yoing. So that was partly on me. You know, I have to take responsibility for that. I did, you know, I wasn't in my right mind, but yet I did cause damage. And I do have a thyroid. I am on thyroid medication for many, many years. And I don't think that does someone any favor. I think that it will cure your slow metabolism, but it doesn't. It really doesn't seem to do very much for me. Just keep my numbers straight. But in reality, I had to cut back on food. And that was not a very welcoming notion. And I don't like it now either. But I have to accept things that I don't like. I don't have to like everything, I have to accept. And so we each have to find... our way that works for us to keep us in threefold recovery. We have to step, it's really a lot about step work and the tools that help us along the way. That's to get that in place helps with everything else. To get each part of the threefold recovery in place supports the other. You know, like the three-legged stool, we say they all have to be the same height to keep the stool. But someone once said to me, one of my sponsees happened to say, but the spiritual leg is thicker. You know, it's the same height to hold up the stool, but it's thicker. It takes more work for that to be in place. So however, you know, you need to work your program, it's a broad highway, and we have to find what it takes for each one of us. And again, it is a process, a slow process, but the promises are there. As long as we keep at it and don't leave, which is, you know, I'm grateful for my lesson in that. And that's why I could cut back on some of the food that I needed to cut back on in order to have the maintenance that is so precious to me and challenging.
Thank you. Thank you. Beth, we're out of time. If you can remain on after the meeting, I'm sure Valerie will be happy to answer your question. Sorry about that. We are on a